Welcome to the show, Matt Richard from Digital EFX Raps. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, man. How are you doing today, bud?
I am good. So, Matt, who is Matt if you had to give us a quick three-minute bio?
Quick three-minute bio. My name is Matt Richard. I'm a co-owner of Digital EFX Raps out of Louisville, Kentucky. I've got a partner, Dallas Fowler. We've been in business since 2005. We are out of Louisville, Kentucky, two small Kentucky boys, starting a rap company with two guys. We're not a gigantic company. We are now up to 11, 12 employees. Not only do we rap and design and install vehicle wraps here, we train across the country, even overseas a little bit, and doing seminars and doing different types of boot camps for the past 10 to 12 years. And here we are. And here I am, you know, being interviewed by you today, which I feel very privileged and humbled to have me. So I'll go about a minute and a half. That's all I can do. My head's big enough as it is, man. So I can't thank you enough for having me on today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on. So, Matt, let's turn back the clock. How did you get started in the industry?
Started this industry actually from a sign background. So my partner and I had been working for different sign shops, graphic shops. Once we were 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, got in this business, working for other people. We saw a need and saw that vehicle wrapping had just started and really started to see it a little bit in some magazines. And we decided, you know what, let's find, instead of going to a bank, let's find a financial backer that's willing to kind of put some money up for a printer. And we did that. We got a printer, laminator, 24-inch plotter, two computers, and just started, man, and haven't looked back.
Did you get started in the business because you felt a need to be in the business? Were you brought up in the business? It just happened to be a coincidence. What was your way in?
I think our way in was, we talked about this earlier, before I was even 21, when I worked for a sign shop, we did banners, we did signs, we dug holes and put real estate signs in. The wind would come and blow them down, right? We would take the phone call, go back and put them back in. And not to knock the sign industry, because we still do some signs out of our shop, but we got very tired and almost bored, and the artistic availability and the way we express ourselves wasn't there anymore. And I noticed that just lettering someone's van up, whether it was a plumber or electrician, there was two things. One, that owner was excited and ecstatic and happy to even pay for that job when they came to pick up. And B, we noticed that business was getting a lot more money and a return on their investment from the vehicle lettering that we did. And I looked at the owner at the time and said, man, it would be so cool to just do vehicle graphics and lettering. And he didn't really make fun of me, but he said, man, you're under 21. You're young and dumb. What do you know? There's not enough business. There's not enough niche for that to do that. And this is before vehicle wrapping was even out there. Now, people say they've wrapped vehicles 30 years ago, right? They have, but that was mostly semi-trucks that were screen-printed graphics that were installed. They weren't wrapping individual cars then, but that's kind of how I kind of had the light bulb idea of, man, this is something that we could do. And vehicle wrapping had just really started in the United States, and I could be wrong, in the early 2000s. And we just started. Luckily, we had a clientele base built up from some other sign shops that we worked at, so we were able to kind of add this service right out the gate. So were we wrapping 8 or 9 vans or vehicles a month starting out? Absolutely not. But we had to start somewhere, but we didn't start from scratch. And once we got the snowball rolling, it really started to take off.
Would you say you were probably one of the first ones out in Louisville, Kentucky?
Yes, I would say we definitely were. We were definitely one of the first, only, if not only, vehicle wrap shops. There were some other companies that before us that you could get vehicle wrapping done, and you could get some other services done. But as far as a niche vehicle wrap company, definitely the first to be in Louisville, because I can remember our first 10 or 12 clients, they were actually driving to Chicago, to New York, to Indianapolis to get this service done, because there was nothing available for that to be installed or even created in Louisville, Kentucky. So we definitely have created more of our own competition, but it's great. Competition is what it is. It's competition, and we all need it, whether we're playing sports or whether we're running a business.
So just let me understand this. It's you and Dallas, right? Two Kentucky boys. You decide to open a wrap shop. Back in 2004 or 2005, there wasn't any really YouTube videos that you could really use. Mm-mm. How did you learn how? Because you knew how to put it on a plane surface, but how did you learn the 3D curving and all of that? How did you go about it?
Great question. We still have it today, I think. And this is hats off to them too, but it was a 3M DVD. I think it was 6 minutes long, showing an install of a van. Showed the guy wiping the van down a couple times with a cloth. Three panels were magically hung. He takes three squeegee strokes with a heat gun, and then voila, he's standing in front. So we would look at that all the time and just kind of laugh, because you're right. When we first started, God, it makes me feel super old, is there was no training. There was no RAP Institute. There was no Avery training. There was no Roland training. There was no PDAA. There was no 3M certification, really, that I'm aware of, you know, at that point in time. So definitely it was trial by error. When we first got a hold of Avery's Easy film, you know, this is before they even had the slidable technology, we were just amazed that I could actually press, or we could press, an air bubble out, right? I mean, it was like, what's going on with this film? This is phenomenal. So we just did trial and error. I mean, we didn't mess up one out of every two wraps, but we definitely had mistakes on the install. And we had a lot of mistakes, really, on the scaling and sizing from the beginning. But we just did trial and error. And I guess more than anything is we learned from day one that we set our expectations to our client from the beginning. And we told them, we've got over 10 years of experience with vinyl and installing it, but this is a new process. So we need your van for a full 5 to 6 days to print and install it, because we want to make sure it's right. And that's what it was, man. It took us, if a full van, you know, a regular van came in on a Monday morning, we weren't really done until Thursday or Friday when it was all said and done. So you look back on that now and you laugh a little bit, but we're not the fastest wrappers out there, and don't claim to be. I can name you 10 installers right now that are faster than us. We would never be able to get that level, but that's when we kind of really realized of how long it takes to be profitable and how long it takes to wrap. But we just finally got tired of pulling someone else's cart, man, and we just dove in head first and hoped and prayed that we'd make it. So, and staying, and you know too, I'm sure, and people you've interviewed, you know, our first year or two, we were working 70 to 80 to 90 hours a week just to fine tune our craft and skill.
Right. Cause you started off, it was you and Dallas, and then you ended up growing, right?
Yep. We ended up growing. We went for first 3 years, 3.5 years of hiring no one. It was just Dallas and ourselves. And we had a couple people that would come in and help, and never really panned out. And we finally hired our first installer year 3.5, year 4, who is still with us today. And from there, we hired another slash sales.
Let me stop you there, because this is an important thing. The way I see it is taking your first installer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was you and Dallas. You both owned the business, but you were taking in the first installer besides you two.
Yep.
Could you remember your train of thought, or what you were thinking, or your fears and expectations?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, my first fear, I don't know if it was Dallas, but my first fear was, can we afford to pay this person? And what I mean about afford, it's not that the first check or the second check we can afford, is I'm going to hire an employee that I am now on the hook for their livelihood, meaning I expect them to show up and work and be on time and to help us be profitable. But I, in return, right, have to make sure they have a paycheck that's ready and live and ready to go every week. That was my first fear. Are we being profitable enough to hire someone? The second fear that we had that took us forever to realize and learn was to actually let the installer go and make mistakes and make big issues, big problems, to where even though it cost us money, that's the way the installer was going to learn and to become a better installer. So our biggest mistake was that we babied our installers too long, meaning we did everything ourselves to make sure no mistakes happened, because we assumed that a mistake was going to cost us money, which is true. But until we really let them go a little bit and to make mistakes and then pull them back in, teach them again and let them go out again, that's when we really started to understand how to not only hire, but how to train and let a installer grow on their own. If that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. I'm thinking of also as well that it would be interesting to talk a little bit about you and Dallas seem to have a very close partnership. What can you say about it?
Great question. Our partnership, you know, we've been together for 13, 14 years.
It's like a marriage.
It is like a marriage. It is like a marriage. The one thing, and we discussed this earlier, is, and I can give this to anybody, is that people find a little unique, whether you know Dallas or you know myself or you know both of us together, is we don't hang out after work. Will we go to a big event or support each other? Absolutely, 110%. But we don't hang out after work and watch sports or play golf or go ride skateboards or just hang out, because we spend so much time at work, and we spend a lot of time together on the road traveling and doing these shows, doing these training seminars, doing these speaking engagements. So that was the one thing that has worked. The second thing is that we are oil and water. We're two different people. He has a totally different design style than I have a design style. He is more on the design, the install side. I am more on the design, sales, pricing, marketing side. So when you combine those two, I think that's one reason why we've been very semi-successful from the beginning, is because we were able to complement each other. To answer the other part of your question would be, is I think we have learned, and it's taken us, man, almost 10 years to really respect each other and to be able to have a friendship environment, work environment, friendship in the work, but also to be able to attach that respect and seriousness of the business side to it. So it was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we were actually finally able to give each other constructive criticism and for us to actually be able to handle it like a man or like a mature business owner, to say, you know what, you are right about that. I have been doing that lately and I will stop, or you've been doing this. And we've also been very good at propping each other up and letting them know, man, I appreciate everything that you do, and you do A, B, C, D, and E. And if you didn't do A, B, C, D, and E, we'd be in trouble. And that goes both ways. But it did take us a while. But I can honestly say now, after 14 years of being together in our business, we've had two knockout arguments, which is pretty good. Back home in my personal life, I have those probably every month.
I got it. So it's a couple of years, right? You've been going at it. Like everything in life, it has ups and downs, like you said before about partnership as well. But yep. What's kept you going?
As far as us being together or the business?
For yourself personally, what's kept you going in this industry we so love?
I would say the biggest thing that has kept us going, the first thing is that we all do this for money, right? Some people say, oh, I do it for this, I do it for that. Obviously, we're trying to create a business so that we can create a better life for ourselves and for our families' lives. Mm-hmm. To be able to see where we came from the beginning of paying each other $375 a week, US dollars, which is not a lot when we first started out, to the vehicles that we drove and how we lived our life versus now, it's definitely night and day. But I think for Dallas and I, the most rewarding thing and that drives us is the training side of it. Even though we're not really known as that's our main business, but to be able to train people and to see them go get training from other people as well, and to see them be successful, it's not because of what we train them, but to see people grow in this industry and to know that you were a part of that is a very, very rewarding experience and feeling. And that's what I was speaking about last week in Salt Lake City about. And I didn't really realize that. Do I like to get paid to do a training session? Absolutely. But to be at a trade show and to have someone come up to you from 9 years ago that you trained and you kind of forgot about, and to have them show you their business and their Instagram and what they've been wrapping and what they've been doing. And now some of these people are three times the size that Dallas and I's company are, is beyond it. Just, it's unbelievable. And the other thing I could say is, to being in Louisville, Kentucky, in our community, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like us. Maybe they like us or not, but you never hear about good news, right? But you always hear about bad news. But in our area, we've got, you know, a really, and I don't want to be boastful at all, we have a really good reputation of not only doing great work, but if we make mistakes, guess what, man, we fix them, because we make mistakes all the time. We don't hide from them. We educate our clients, we educate our customers. And the coolest thing about vehicle wrapping that I see, because we're mostly a commercial style vehicle wrap company, we do a lot of color change, is to really see these businesses grow from the vehicle wraps. I mean, I haven't had one client in 14 years say, man, that wrap brought me zero money. More than anything, it's, Matt, this wrap actually not only helped me get more business, I was able to retain this business, or whatever the case may be. I mean, we wrapped some political vehicles 8 months ago. They're telling us that they think that's one reason why he won the mayor race, because of the vehicle wraps. Who knows? But I will take that compliment, right?
Feels good to know.
It feels good to know. So it might have been long-winded, but for me, it's the education side to really, that really keeps me going, and to be able to create vehicle wraps. And I think people, we always talk about vehicle wrap, right? Vehicle wrap. It's what it is, but you know, don't be afraid to call yourself, you know, I say sometimes we're in mobile advertising, right? Mm-hmm. We're advertisers, we're marketers, especially from a commercial standpoint. We're, you know, the color change is one aspect of it, but the print and the digital side of it, you know, you could say you're putting big stickers on a car, which my 8-year-old says, but we're doing mobile advertising, man. And if we design this wrap and put it on right, we can bring you a lot of revenue and a lot of generation, revenue generation, that it's phenomenal, that a sign can't do.
Since we're talking about you as a business owner, but also a rapper that's been going at it from since 04, 05, what's the biggest aha moment you've had in regards to the business?
Good question. I would say the biggest aha moment for myself would be to finally realize that we can only do so much on our own. And what I mean by that is Dallas and I can only wrap so many vehicles per week or per month until we hit a plateau of dealing with our, affecting our quality, mm-hmm. and the work that we put out, to where we were able to finally hire another installer, as we spoke of earlier, and to really see how our business can grow. And I think the aha moment was, is that we've learned from other business owners that are not even in our industry, that you can either get too big or you can get too small. And sometimes you can get too big to where you have so much overhead, you have to really create so much sales and generate revenue every month to where you can't stay afloat and you go out of business because you're too big. Or you can also be too small, where you may not have as much overhead, but you can only create so much to really be profitable and to create a lifestyle and a living that can be used and you can live on for the rest of your life, to the point where you get a medium-sized business where you have just amount of square footage, the just amount of right amount of area, and you have a right amount of good staff and installers around you to where you can be profitable and really make a bang for your buck and really make a ding and a hit in this industry. For us, that was an aha moment. Now, we haven't really arrived there quite yet, but we are almost there, and it has been kind of an aha moment. But the biggest aha moment for me, mm-hmm. and hopefully it is for some other people, is to finally use and learn the word no. Once we learned how to use the word no, it allowed us to actually become profitable, because we spent a lot of time doing jobs and doing business that was not making enough money for us. To give you a quick example,
cool.
Some people could laugh at us, whatever, but a motorcycle. Have you wrapped a motorcycle before? I'm sure
yes.
You've.
It takes right? a lot of time to do it.
A lot of time, right? So if you price a motorcycle out correctly, you can make some good money. But don't laugh, but when we first started out, we would charge $600 to $800 for a motorcycle wrap. But when that motorcycle comes in, by the time you do the design and the printing and the proofing and the install and the tucking and the removing of the parts, and you finally get done and you stand back and look at the numbers, we really weren't that profitable. Mm-hmm. And not only were we not profitable, we were spending that much time on a motorcycle wrap, and we had 3 or 4 box trucks or commercial vehicles that had to be done for $3,000 or $4,000 per unit or per vehicle. And we were there till 4 o'clock in the morning, but we never were quite profitable. And we went back and looked at it, and we're like, man, we're busy doing a lot of custom jobs that are really not bringing enough money into our pockets. So now when you call my company, we say we don't wrap motorcycles, but if you want to wrap a motorcycle, here is the price that it would take. A lot of people will say, you're crazy, or what are you smoking to charge that for to wrap a motorcycle? But we now know how much time it really goes into making that motorcycle wrap. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this or that will be listening to this say, Matt, you're crazy. We wrap motorcycles all the time. But if you create that niche and you create that right amount of pricing that you are profitable, hats off to you. Go for it. I just know in my business, I had to figure out what we were making money on and what we weren't making money on. And no was the biggest thing. I was so afraid that if I told you no, that I'd end up going out of business. And there I'd sit on my back porch one night going, I wished I hadn't wrapped that motorcycle. Right?
Would have made me rich.
Would have made me rich, or maybe I would able to afford my rent for the next month. So that was a big aha moment for me. I know it may say, sound simplistic, but for us, that was key.
You touched two different points that I would like to bring up. The first one is bringing in your first employer, right? Because you and Alice, you were doing sales reps and all of it at the beginning. But somewhere in the middle, you decided to bring in your first employer, first rapper.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big step to take for all of us, the first one. Can you take us through your train of thoughts, your ideas, what you were thinking, your fears?
Yes. I think the biggest, one of the first fears was, can I afford to pay this person? I want to make sure that not only can we afford to pay them today, next Friday, the following Friday, but are we, even though they're willing to come work for us, are we making enough money to where we can provide an income and a paycheck for this, employee? I don't know about you, but I have worked for people in the sign industry, in the graphic industry, where my check was not good. Or my check was due on Friday and I wasn't able to get that check until the following Wednesday. I mean, I've never,
that's hard.
You know, most of us in our life have lived check to check, right? You know, times can get tough. They always are tough, especially when you're in your early 20s. When we first started, I wasn't married or had a house, but I didn't have two nickels to rub together. So that was the big fear. The second thing was, once we hired someone and started to train them on what we knew on how to wrap a vehicle, our biggest mistake we made was not allowing them to make mistakes. We always babied them. Right. We always did the hard stuff first. We'd say, you know what? Don't do that part because I'm worried you'll mess up. Let us do that part. And that's not training them. So we finally learned that, man, we're going to have to let them make mistakes. We're going to have to reprint some film. We're going to have to maybe go back and redo a bumper or redo a mirror. But you know what? That's the only way we got good, right? So that's the way they have to be trained, and that's the way they have to be learned. So that was the big thing. So the first thing was to make sure that we could afford them. And the second thing was, is that can we train them to be almost a duplicate copy of what we are? And if we can, great. And once that happened and we could see that we could train someone and that they were bringing enough money into the business and helping us grow the business, then it was a lot easier to hire employee number four, employee number five, and so on. And, you know, I mean, not all employees work out either. You can do everything by the book and sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's just life.
It's just life. Absolutely. And one thing too, and I'll say too, is for anyone listening or, you know, you're hiring someone, obviously you're looking for someone that either has skills or doesn't have skills, or whether you're going to train them or they already trained. You know, a lot now, people are more trained now than they were 15, 14 years ago. But, and this is common sense too, but when I hire someone now too, is we let them know, is we want you to come in for an evaluation period. We're not even going to hire you yet because this industry is so meticulous and such a craft that let's make sure not only are you a good fit for us, but we're a good fit for you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got to work both ways. And I think once an employee feels like they want to make sure that they're a good fit both ways, it makes the hiring process and the experience a lot easier, hopefully.
I think I heard you say family somewhere over there. So yeah.
Yes. Big on family. Absolutely. At the end of the day, it's a job, right? At the end of the day, people are here for a paycheck. But Dallas and I have, from day one, have tried to make this a family environment. Even though we're not together as blood family, we are a family. We're brothers and have been since day one. And we want everyone to feel like that too. So if someone doesn't feel like they're family here, then we may have some serious issues. And we'd like to figure out what those issues are so we can fix those or alleviate them. But if they're not, they're not. And maybe it's not a good fit for either one of us.
I agree. The other point I also wanted to talk to you about, the red numbers, right? There's a lot of wrapping business out there all over the world that they're not really making money. I mean,
yes,
they are following their passion. They do what they love every day, but they're not really making money. So we're going to talk a little bit more about your training and all that, but what's your point on it all? You see a lot of companies and you get to travel around. What's your intake on all? Why?
That's a man. I've said 30 times probably now that that's a great question, right? But you're talking, it's music to my ears, because for 3 or 4 years, and I won't jump the gun with that, I have really started 4 years ago, actually, at RapsCon with Justin in his booth. I did a whole pricing segment on how to price vehicle wraps. I think that's a big missing component of our industry, because at the end of the day, right, you can have the best facility, the best installer, what you consider the best printers, the best team. But if you're not pricing yourself properly to where you can be profitable, you will go out of business or you will flatline and you will never turn a profit year after year. And how long can you go doing that, right? And as you say, traveling all over across the country, there are some areas that I go into and I hear the price per square foot for what people are charging or what they can only charge for. And it blows my mind to the point where some of these companies and some of these areas, they're printing and installing vehicle wraps cheaper than what I charge a banner print for, right? Which only I print and trim off and put grommets in and sell it to my client. So that's shocking. But I also run into people that are charging the same, if not more, than my company, and hats off to them and high five to them.
Is that in the same area?
Some are in the same area, but I mean, I have, you know, there's people in my area that are, could be anywhere from 20 to 35% cheaper than me. I also have a few that are probably maybe 5 to 10% higher than me. But for the most part, I'm considered one of the highest as far as pricing in my area. But traveling across the country on the West Coast, I see a lot of saturation, lower pricing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you go up north and it's even more. You get more for your square foot. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of saturation down in Southern Florida. I see a lot of saturation up north in New York area as far as pricing. And I also think that's because we're dealing with more competition, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going at more companies having to how do I make myself different? But I think with vehicle wrapping, it's a niche, right? Vehicle wrapping is a niche in the graphic world. But I also think you can create your own niche with your own clientele, meaning you're not going to get every single client out there. There's a lot of clients out there looking for what? The best price? Looking for the best price. We can always find something cheaper, right? I tell my clients that all the time. You know, I had a heating and air conditioning company say, Matt, your vehicle wrap is $3,800, but this competitor of yours is $2,700. What's the difference? I said, well, that's $1,100 difference. I totally understand you going with the cheaper route. I'm not going to sit here and try to persuade you to spend $1,100 more with me. But in order for me to be able to get your job done the way that I know it has to be done, the warranty that I know that you need and require and should have, I have to charge this amount to get that business and also to stay profitable. The one thing that I teach in these classes, just a quick little thing, and it's common sense as well, is everyone talks about how much the media, how much the laminate, and how much the ink is, right? Don't you hear that all the time? Yep. Media, ink, laminate. Media, ink, laminate. And some labor. But what about the phone or the computer or internet that I'm talking to you on right now? What about that? What about the electric? What about the heat? What about the cell phones? What about the health insurance? What about the fuel and the gas and the insurance for our shop vehicles? What about my employees' insurance and their dental? What about my shop insurance? What about my umbrella policy? What about my $3 million policy to cover the contents of not only the building, but all the vehicles that could be inside here at one point in time? And I didn't even mention any type of overhead, such as our fixed costs. But what about our media and our ink and our laminate? And you combine that all into one ball and look at what you're charging. I think a lot of people be super shocked and almost flabbergasted of what they should be charging. Or if they don't continue or they continue on that trend, they're going to be out of business before they know it.
That is so true.
But it's a very good, very good question. Between you and me, but everyone's listening, is we could never make this wraps a union, right, to where we have a standard. But I mean, one big goal of mine in 2019, and I will speak on a little bit, is I'm working on creating something for our industry that has to deal with pricing, and not so much a standardized pricing, but I would like the end consumer or the end user, whether they're getting a commercial wrap done or they're getting a color change wrap done, to really know what a ballpark figure for a good quality wrap should cost from a reputable wrap company that is insured, trained, and has spent a lot of time and money in their efforts to become the company they are, to where when they go there, they go, you know what, maybe $1,400 for a van wrap is not an acceptable number.
Right. It's a two-sided sword, right? It's the market is what the market is. So the market will pay what the market wants to pay. But at the same time, even though you want it, not everyone can love you. So if everyone loves you, then you're not loved by anyone. So
true. So my best clients, I've lost some business from because they said, Matt, I can get this job for this amount. And I tell them, I don't blame you one bit, go get it for that amount because I can't compete at that level. Even if I discount it some, I'm still way above that next, my competitor, right? And I think the biggest thing too is some people, how many people do you come across in as long as you've been doing this that know what cast or calendared vinyl is?
They don't. I mean, everyone just goes by, at least in my area, goes by the idea that they're getting the same warranty and the same,
right,
but much cheaper.
Or what about whether you're getting a seamless wrap or you're getting a tiled wrap, right? That's a whole different ball of wax, right? Or how is your vehicle wrap printed? Is it printed with high resolution? Do they accept banding as a okay, right? I've seen some of the best wraps in the world from a distance, but you get up on them and the print quality is horrible. The install is great. But the print quality is horrible. So, how does the end user, how does the consumer really know anything other than the price? But as you said, the market will only bear what the market will bear. And just because, some people, and I'm the same way, I want to find the best deal that I can, but what else is important to you? Is warranty important to you? Is quality important to you? Are there some certain aspects important to you? But for the most part, it's a lot of people looking for the cheapest price, and that is what it is. And guess what? That's never going to change, right?
No, it's like that in every.
Yep, every industry.
Yeah, I want to be respectful of your time. So before we go too long here, take us through how you go from being. Well, we know how you went from sign to wraps, but how did you go from wraps into training?
We went from wraps to training. A little bit of luck. Our first 2.5 years of business, we entered a rap contest. I don't remember what magazine it was. It might have been Signs of the Times. It might have been a different publication. But we entered 2 or 3 different vehicles, a motorcycle that we'd wrapped, the ones that we don't do anymore, right?
Yeah.
And we heard nothing back. 2 months later, Dallas and I are sitting there eating lunch at the shop, and the magazine comes, and we won first place in shop vehicle, second place in a different category, first place in the motorcycle wrap, and maybe third place in another category. And we were blown away. But in that article, Dallas and I put in there that we had used a Roland printer, the model number, the inks that we used, and we actually even, I think we said that we used Avery film. It asked us what products and printers we used. And within about a month, Rowan Marketing calls us and says, hey, would you guys like to write a magazine article? Dallas and I looked at each other and went, of course. We've been doing signs and graphics forever, had no recognition. Absolutely. So we wrote an article about, I guess it would be, and I'd love to find this article about maybe just quality and how to wrap a vehicle. And then from there, they asked us two Kentucky country boys to wrap a car for them. And Rowan being in Southern California at that time, they still are, my question was, well, how are we going to do that? we'll fly you out. I didn't really put two and two together. So after about a month of going over the design, the layout, they flew us to California in their showroom, nice hallway, marble floors. We wrapped that Scion XB in 2 days. I mean, it took us 16, 17 hours and we wrapped it. And when we got done, marketing looked at it and said, man, I've never seen a vehicle wrap done that way. And I don't know if I mentioned earlier, you know, we didn't invent this, but we assumed when we first started in 2004, 2005, that the wrap should be done and printed and installed seamlessly. So the doors were individual pieces. The roof was one piece. The bumper was one piece. And we just assumed that's how the industry was going because we had never been to another wrap shop before. We had never been to a sign show before, right? So we didn't know what the wrap industry was doing. And marketing saw that and said, we got to have you guys come to a show and do a live wrap demo sometime. Could you do that? We've never rapped in front of anybody. We've never spoken publicly, but of course we said, of course. And we did a show in Orlando that year and it really took off. The booth was packed. It was going crazy. And we did SEMA that year. And from there, it just evolved into doing shows every year, doing training, doing seminars. And every year it's grown. So we did not get in this business to do training or to be at SGIA or to do RapsCon or to do SEMA. We did this to wrap cars. This is just an extra thing that happened to us. And I think that was all in timing. I think timing is everything as well, right? So we got into it at the right time. We just talked, was it last month? We were in Vegas for SGIA. It was a phenomenal show right before SEMA. And we looked around and it was like, man, you know, when we were doing this 12, 13 years ago, there was only one or two cars at the show that either were wrapped or they were doing some live demonstrations. And now when you walk around, how many do you see? It's a bunch. It's cool to see it grow. But that's how we kind of got from just doing from wrapping into the training side of it. And in 2019, we're going to have over 20 travel dates set up already. So we're primed and ready to go. I say that now. Call me in 6 months and ask me that same question, will you, Simon?
I will. I'm guessing we'll probably need to do a part two on this one due to the time issue. But like I said before, you do travel a lot, right? And you do train in many different facilities. What is it that you see as a trainer? We talked a little bit about the downside of the business, but what is it that you see that's positive with the business? What is it that you love so much with it?
As far as love for the training side of it, I think I spoke on earlier, the one thing for training that I've, and I think it's from me getting older every year and hopefully being a little bit more mature, would be to see people's response to you in training them. And I think if you ask any trainer out there, and there's very many great trainers out there, was the reward aspect of seeing someone take the knowledge and skills that you taught them and taking those skills to another level and being successful is beyond rewarding. And to be at a show or to be at a seminar and having someone come up to you and say, man, I don't know if you remembered me, but you trained me in Virginia in 2007. And I went and got trained from this person, that person as well. And now I went from one employee to 16 employees. I mean, the company is bigger than our company. And it's not because of what we trained them, but at least to know that you were a part of their success and a part of their education process is very rewarding. My own father tells me, he doesn't now because he understands what I do. He used to think we were crazy for teaching people what we know. And he would say, why are you letting the fox in the hen house? And I told him, it's already going on, Dad, but why not try to train the way we know and spread the knowledge and spread what we can? And as you know, nothing lasts forever, right? So we got to ride this wave while we can. So if we've got some large corporate companies willing to send us training business, why would we not take it? And more than anything, too, it makes us better. And it makes us, I mean, I learn something new every time I train someone, learn something new every time. And it could be people that I've never met before or that have no skill. When Dallas and I train, the first thing that I do is besides introducing myself or Dallas is I ask them where they're from, what they do, whether they're in wrapping, whether they're in business, how they make their money, whether it's embroidery, screen print, signage, PPF, window tint, whatever the case may be. And we ask them what their skill level is on a scale of 0 to 10. A 0 would be never wrapped a car before, right? Mm-hmm. I would consider a 2 or 3, maybe 1 or 2 partials and just vinyl lettering. If you've wrapped 10 or 20 vehicles, you could be a 7 or 8 or even a 10. But for the most part, man, our people that we train are in the sign industry are just getting into it. So we're dealing with a lot of beginners.
Right.
But I have seen the past year or two in the United States, for sure, the economy has gotten better. And there's a new, there's fresh blood in the waters, ladies and gentlemen, meaning there's more people getting into this that weren't in it 4 or 5 years ago. And you being around this just as long as I have, if not longer, you know, you would say 5 years ago, you'd probably say enough, right? Enough rappers. Back off. Let us have this work. But there's more and more work out there every day. And I'm a little negative at times. I'm not as much optimistic. I'm more pessimistic. And every year I laugh and go, you know what? This is the year that we stop training. This is the year that wraps go down to $3 a square foot. This is the year that everyone gets really good at vehicle wrapping and we all go out of business. But you know what? Every year it's actually getting bigger and bigger and bigger, where I think 5 years from now, this thing is going to be even bigger. We just don't know where it's going to be. I just have that feeling that it's going to grow into something a lot larger. But for the training side of it, it's just really cool to sit in a classroom and look at 15 or 20 students and go, these people took their time out of their business, paid for airfare, hotel, gas, away from their business to come learn some information from me. That's an honor for me.
That's a
privilege to me. Even though I laugh too, is that, dude, you and I, we're talking on this. You're from Sweden, right?
Right.
And I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, and we're talking about stickers that go on a car, right? At the end of the day. But those of us that are in this industry know the bigger picture with this. And to me, that's the most rewarding thing. And I'll not leave you with this, but I've been using this for the past year and a half in my training sessions. And I've told some of our great rapper friends and trainers as well, is that I had a financial banker that we wrapped his Porsche, and very nice guy. He was coming up front to pay his bill. And he goes, you know what? You guys basically design, print, manufacture, and install custom tailored suits to fit a vehicle.
That's a nice way to say it.
And it's a very nice way to say it. But it also puts that extra special, you know what? Don't sell yourself short. I'm not trying to go out there and kill my clients and rake them over the coals and charge astronomical prices. But there is a custom tailored style, don't you agree, you know, fit for this industry that you should be paid top dollar for the work that you provide and produce on an everyday basis.
Well, there's certainly a niche for it. There is.
Definitely a niche for it. So, but the training side has been phenomenal. So hopefully that answered your question. I don't know if I did or not.
Tell you what, Matt, let's do a round two further down the line. But before I let you go.
Yep.
Where can people find you?
They can find us on the web at www.digitalefxwraps.com.
Right.
We're also on Instagram, digitalefxwraps. You can find us on there. You can follow us on Twitter as well, digitalefx on Twitter. You can also, any sign show you go to, hopefully we are there at Roland's booth. Anything having to do with Roland DGA, we are a part of. That's where you can usually find us, if that's what you're asking for.
Yep. And before I let you go completely, you have, as I often leave my guests, an open channel to the rapping world where they can tell whatever they feel like for everyone that's listening out there. So free speech, free mic. What do you want to tell people?
Oh, in the rap world?
Yeah.
All right. I would say for all those us out there rapping and are rapping today, tomorrow, is to stick by your guns, take pride in yourselves, realize the amount of work and skill and talent and awesome graphics that you guys produce every single day, and to don't sell yourself short, meaning charge and quote appropriately for the work that you do. My biggest thing too for us is that we always want to make sure that I want my client to be happy with your rap. I want my client to be happy with my rap, but I want my competition to walk up to my vehicle wraps and go, these guys are doing it correctly and putting it on right. If you can do that, then I think you're going to be successful and it's going to make you feel better about yourself. Are there some reps that you would see that we did? Maybe I don't want you to see, maybe a couple, but for the most part, rap like you're wanting your competition to walk up and look at your work. And if you do that, you're going to be successful and just keep kicking. You know what? That's all I can tell anybody in this industry is keep kicking. You know what?
Thank you very much for taking your time and for being a part of the show. I truly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you and thank you for your time, man. Hope you have a great day.
Bye.
All right, see you, buddy.